This is the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Bruschi.
Featuring retired FBI special agent Jennifer Coffendaffer.
Should Richard Allen get his attorneys back? Should Judge Gull be removed from the case? Should she recuse herself, step down? Should something happen here that makes just a little bit of sense in the case of Delphi and the murdered two little girls? It's a heartbreaking case, no matter any way you look at it, especially for the family that still is dealing with this. And every single turn, it seems to be another roller coaster hill that they're going down. And the same, too, for the defendant, Richard Allen, who is innocent until proven guilty. He's going down these roads as well. Judge Gull, now the Supreme Court of Indiana, going to be making a decision soon on whether or not she can continue. And also, if Richard Allen should be getting those attorneys back that have walked down this very difficult, dark path with him all the way to this point. Jennifer Coffendaffer, retired FBI special agent, joining us to discuss. What's your thoughts on the current state of the case, where everything sits with Gull and the attorneys?
Well, in a nutshell, it is a hot mess right now. I mean, you have a judge that is being brought before the Supreme Court of Indiana, and the Supreme Court of Indiana has already issued really two orders that I found very interesting. The Supreme Court is putting her on a tight leash in terms of her response. She had a response time. She asked for more time. Now she's asked for more time. And this is their last time they're going to extend. That date is November 27th. And that's the end of the road. So she's going to be working, her and her attorneys, on getting some sort of brief put together. And it's kind of sad in terms of one part of this is the defense team for Richard Allen is merely asking for the transcript. When I say the defense team, I should say the fired defense team, yes. Rossi and Baldwin. They just want the transcript from the in-camera session with Judge Gull that, you know, basically was the impetus for them being removed. And I find it really interesting because why is she digging her heels? And the only reason, and I believe, is because she said things she does not want out there.
Yeah, I mean, it could have a very big impact on her. And this happened in closed chambers. It was recorded. We do know that. And the Supreme Court is saying, turn it over. We gotta see what happened. Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say the Supreme Court has basically said, we've got to get your brief.
Yeah.
On why you don't want to turn it over, but you can't just ignore it anymore because she's just been ignoring it all this time. The Supreme Court said, no, that isn't how it works. Get an answer to them and get it to them by the 27th now.
I mean, what does it say when, the attorney general could have represented her, but she recused herself from doing it, which is why she had to get her own private counsel. When your own state, your own team, if you will, is like, you're kind of a hot mess. We're not going to go with you. I think that probably says something about the integrity of the judge and the case itself.
It just sends a horrible signal. And we know that the question was asked for them to represent her and it was declined because that is per the court document. So we know it was declined and now there's private counsel involved. And of course, that's the reason that they're saying they need more time, but it looks very bad.
And it's easy when things look bad to go down the road of, this seems like it kind of plays along with the conspiracy theory. I don't know if I'm going all the way to Odinism, but certainly the intermingling, the cabal, if you will, of government, it seems, in the Delphi area with the police, the judicial system, all of it kind of working together. And if one side, if the prosecution side seems to want to go one way, they're going to go that way. But it seems they will go to almost any lengths to prove what they want to say, of what their version of what they think the truth actually is. Is this something, though, where is it that dark? Is it where there's all this intermingling? Or is this a judge that really is just sloppy, maybe kind of lazy, talking about a lot of the documents, the evidence and such that she put under seal? No one could take a look at it. No one could see it. The transparency in this has been shocking. I mean, almost to the point of being wrong, maybe even possibly violating some laws.
Well, I think the I guess, surprise for me. I was so excited when she was assigned the case, just doing some background on her. I thought, oh, this is going to be terrific, especially considering Judge Diener and all of those close ties to the prosecution and to the Delphi area. I thought, okay, good. We're getting a fresh look, a fresh set of eyes. And really, her first, you know, time that she was called to a task of, I think, making a no-brainer decision, which was when they requested that he be put in a county jail. And I hate to keep harping on it, but it's just so significant. He should be put in a county jail. And when she denied that, not once, but twice, that was really telling for me. I was really surprised at that. And then now we see the removal of these attorneys, which I want to talk about the other side of that, though, Tony, because certainly to leave these photos, which we now know were left on a conference room table for other people to see other than the prosecution team, and that they were photographed, but at least according to a sworn affidavit, the person who did it said, listen, they didn't know anything about me doing this. Mm-hmm. And so is that gross negligence? That's what the state of Indiana is going to be deciding. I really think that's the crux of it.
Yeah.
Some will argue, well, that 100-plus page document that they filed, that should have been under seal, and that gave very specific details that were under really an order of protection that you just spoke about from Judge Gull, right? Her saying, we don't want any of this revealed. We're not going to have cameras. As you said, she's being very untransparent.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I think that it will come down to whether this court decides that leaving those on that table should have meant their removal. Yeah. Or should it have meant sanctions and a tighter rope? I think it should have meant sanctions and a tighter rope because of what it means to the defendant. He doesn't get who he wants to have represent him. They now are over a year behind in terms of having somebody else try to catch up. Mm-hmm. And the level of representation of Baldwin and Rossi is sort of at that top tier in terms of reputation and the types of cases they do. And now you're dropping down to a different tier, I think, in the new litigators that were selected by Judge Gull.
Yeah, without a doubt. And I think most defense attorneys would say, look, that's our war room. We are here. There's a lot of work to do in our conference room, which is private. We're going to have stuff out. We need it out because we're working this case and working for our client. And yeah, obviously there was some level of negligence if someone got in there and took these pictures when they shouldn't have. But clearly, I mean, this is not as if Baldwin and Rossi went out there and took the pictures to a blogger or something and said, hey, look at this, give me some money. This was beyond their scope of knowledge. You know, should more doors be locked? I think that's the lesson to be learned here. But is the lesson, let's punish Richard Allen because someone nefarious went in and did something that they shouldn't have done? That doesn't seem, fair.
Right. That's the scale, right? That's the scale we're looking at. Yeah. One side, is it too egregious of a discipline really for Richard Allen, balanced with, was it too egregious of a derelict of watching those photos and keeping them safe? Mm-hmm. You know, what's the balance? To me, it tips toward Richard Allen's defense and Richard Allen's timeline is more important, or not more important. It's a greater, I guess, importance than their derelict of watching out for those photos that they left on the conference room table.
Now that we're getting to the Supreme Court level, obviously there's a lot of attention on this from the state as well. Do you think that's going to push anybody in that area in Delphi to maybe be on their best behavior or to do a little bit better, try a little bit harder to not make the optics of this look so damn twisted? It just seems, until, you know, the parents stepped in, everything was out of control. The other question would be, new judge, if we do get a new judge, who's it going to be? Where are they coming from? I would think that that's going to have to be a big consideration as well, to make sure that you get somebody in there that doesn't appear to have a bias or connected with the law enforcement in Delphi.
Yeah, absolutely. They're going to have to get somebody that's completely unbiased, unconnected, don't go to cocktail parties and aren't Facebook friends. You know, they need somebody completely separated. And I tell you another big concern, and I haven't posted this yet, but I'm going to be, is the new chief of police for Delphi is very concerning in terms of his association with gang members, at least Sir 13 gang members. I guess they could not currently be gang members. They could have somehow separated from the groups, but that's usually very rare. So anyway, the new boss in Delphi is certainly of concern. And, you know, I think that plays in somewhat to, even though this is a state police case, certainly Delphi is tied to it and will always be.
Sick of the ads?
We are too.
Start listening with no commercials now and get access to all of our episodes in advance of everyone else.
Become a True Crime Today Premium Plus subscriber on Apple Podcasts.
Search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts or go to our podcast page and sign up now.
True Crime Today Premium Plus.
Sign up now.